Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Tuning in. I'm Pastor Fred Gillenwater here at Russell Road Church, and we are excited about what God is doing. God is good, that's for sure. And He's up to some good things. That is for sure too. Yeah, we're all moving forward, aren't we? Yeah, remember what's prosperity mean? To press forward, to make progress, and to help others along the road. And God's looking for us all to prosper. He wants us all to prosper. Talks about in 3 John, he said, I pray that you would prosper even as your soul prospers. So he wants us, our souls prospering. So, but we're going to go through something when we do, right? That's just how it works. Let's go ahead and get started here. We've been looking at those principles in Hebrews chapter 6. And verse 1 and 2, and repentance of dead works, faith towards God, the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and the doctrine of eternal judgment. Those are all principles that should be established in our foundation of our faith. That's elementary. That's new Christian stuff. We need to have that within us. And what happens is it helps raise the standards for us when we're walking this, our faith out. But if we don't have those principles in us and established, then we can walk away from the faith. Or we might just get caught up in a bunch of stuff we don't belong in. And the whole idea is that God wants us to be established. He wants us to be fulfilling His will, right? And after you've done the will of God, you will receive the promise. So that's the idea. After you have done the will of God. So God wants us to do His will. His will is right here in the Bible, right? Written to us, right? You know, I've got a will to my family. They're going to get what I got. And that's what happens. You get what God has when you fulfill His will. Does that make sense? And you know, all of life is preparing for His will. All of life, we need to be preparing that one day we're going to exit this earth, right? But we're going to be in a new heaven and a new earth. And that's the good news of the gospel. So, let's go to our vision, and then we're going to go to our foundational scripture in Hebrews 6, 1, and then we'll go to Psalms 32, 5. All right. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, bond of peace. All right. Well, let's go to Hebrews. There we go. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So we've been on this idea of repentance. And the importance of it is because, remember, what's repentance mean? Change your mind. And it's the Greek word metanoia. Meta means change. Noia means mind. And look what it says, repentance towards God. So when we print, when we repent, we want to look to what God's trying to show us, how he wants us to think. See, that's what that's talking about. Change your mind towards God. He said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. See, that's what repentance does. Repent. Pentacle. Highest level. If you're going to live the highest level God has for you, it's going to take some repentance. See that? Re, back to the highest level. That's what God wants. He wants us to reach the highest level he has for us. And we can only do that with his help. Amen? Amen. So we definitely need God. And it's, see, dead works. I'm going to tell you, here's one of the worst things. Here's what really fosters dead works. Right here. Our mouth. What we're saying. Did you hear me? Your words. You know, we've been talking about that on Wednesday nights and teaching, because it says in Proverbs 4:24, put away from you a deceitful heart, a deceitful mouth. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. So he's saying, he's talking about what's coming out of our mouth, because that's what's, that's where our heart is. So what comes out of your mouth shows you what's in your heart. So he wants you to put away a deceitful mouth. So when you murmur and complain, pay attention to this. You're actually deceiving people. You're saying God isn't going to hold up. God's not going to fulfill his promise. Remember in Proverbs it also says, A true witness delivers souls, but a false witness speaks lies. We are lying when we are complaining and murmuring. You're saying God can't handle it when you complain against God. When you speak against God, you complain about the gas prices, you complain about the growth, all these things that are going on. He says in Philippians chapter 4, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. If our dependency is on God, it don't matter what the gas prices are doing. God is going to help you. Are you with me? Come on now. Am I making sense? Our confession, we've been talking about confession, because confession goes with repentance. Confession means what? Homo is the Greek word. Homo, logo. Homo means same, logo means words, same words. We want to get in agreement with God over our lives, over our children, and what's going on in the world. When we start to see things the way he sees, that takes humility, and that takes you looking to God and being dependent on God. And that's what God wants. He's looking for us to be more dependent on him, because we're too dependent on circumstances and situations, our possessions, and all the things we have to make us happy and to make us secure. There's only one thing that can really make you fulfill your joy, and that's who? The Holy Spirit and God. And the Holy Spirit is God, right? There's only one thing that can fulfill that, and God can. And there's only one thing that can make you secure is him. He says, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. He said, you'll eat the fruit of your own ways and be filled to your own fantasies. He says, for the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Then he says, but whoever listens to me will dwell safely and be secure without fear of evil. That's in the first chapter of Proverbs. Our security comes from God. And when we're insecure, we're into pride. That's the root of pride, is insecurity. Amen? Y'all glad you came to church today? This is good stuff. Because when we understand this, we're going to change what we start to speak and say out of our mouth. So now we're going to go... Mariette, give me Psalms 32:5 real quick. So let's look at this. Now look what he says. I acknowledged my sin to you. Remember, these are four elements of true repentance. You have to acknowledge you have sin. You have to be honest, remember? I didn't hide it. He didn't hide it. My iniquity I have not hidden. Then he said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. You see, the first three, I acknowledged, I was honest about it, I confessed. When those three are in place, the forgiveness follows. And forgiveness is freedom. When you don't have unforgiveness in your heart towards anybody, that's freedom. Christianity is really about forgiveness. And, you know, it's just, I can't tell you how big it is. Now look what it says. Confess. We've been talking about, that's what we've been focusing on the past few months, is confess. So now, it also means agreement. So God wants you to agree with him about your sin. When you come into agreement, that brings freedom in your life with God. It says in Amos, can two walk together unless they agree? We have to agree. When you're in agreement, boy, it brings unity, doesn't it? It helps you. So, and we want to be in agreement with God. It brings freedom and unity and power in your life. Now, look at this. Confess. So really, when we confess, it's what we're speaking. And your most important conversation you had this morning was the one you had with yourself. What you're saying to yourself. You see that? You talk to God, you pray to God, and what you say to yourself. Self-talk, self-awareness. See, that's what humility is. It's really true self-awareness. When I depend on God, he helps me to be really self-aware of myself. You see that? True humility is I see God and I'm dependent on God. Now I see myself through God and how he sees me. And now I see other people the way God sees. And that's true humility. And that's what we need, humility. That's where power is in humility. When we're humble and we have humility in our life, we put on. Humility is not a fruit. You have to put it on. You have to demonstrate it. You know, and it comes out in your words. So, you are where you are today because of what's come out of your mouth. You brought yourself right there. If you don't like where you are, it's because of what you've been saying. That's why we got to raise our level of consciousness about what we're saying, our words. So remember Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it will eat its fruit. So in other words, your words are seeds. You're planting seeds in your heart and other people's lives with your words. So what you say to people is magnanimous. You can't just roll off and blow off and say anything you want to say to your spouse or your grandchildren or your kids or me or anybody and not plant something in them. You see that? You fill people up with words. That's why God says in Psalms 51, he says God desires truth in our most inward parts. He wants the truth in the deepest part. Remember gossip? Gossip goes down into the most inward parts of a person. That's why if you sit and listen to somebody talk negative about other people, that's getting inside of you. And God is desiring truth there. What happens, that contaminates your whole view and the whole narrative of what's really going on in the world. That's why we got to really watch what we're saying and who we're listening to. We don't want to listen to a bunch of garbage either about people. Well, this is good already. Because when you do that, it affects you. And this is why we got to grow in this. So now, think about this. Let's go to, who's running that back there? Nathaniel? All right. Nathaniel's got greatness in him. I'll tell you what, he's a dandy. Give me Numbers 21. Now, look at this. They journeyed. Now, this is the Israelites, the children of Israel. Moses was leading them. Now, look at this. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. Discouraged. Discouraged. Their courage was taken away. You know what? This happens when people come to the Lord and it starts to get tough and difficult. If you don't get yourself around the right people and get plugged in to where the Word of God is coming over you and the body of Christ, you will get discouraged. You won't have the courage to fulfill the plan and purpose of God in this life if you don't get yourself around the right people. Am I making sense? Is this making sense? You won't have the courage to do it. You'll settle for anything, and you'll end up in a place you don't want to be. You'll end up with somebody you thought you wanted, but you got what you wanted, and now you don't want what you got. And that's the recipe for discouragement. So discouragement, distraction, discouragement, and disappointment all come from right here, what you're saying with your own mouth. You are prophesying your own future. We got to understand that. This is something the church has got to get a hold of. Because you know why? It protects your heart. Our hearts need constant protection. You know, I was studying in this past week, and I was in Genesis chapter 6, where God was looking at all he had created and man, and women, and he said that their hearts, the people he created, their hearts and the imaginations of their hearts, their thoughts, were continually wicked. So he decided, I'm going to destroy it all. And that's what he did. Everybody except Noah. Noah. He said Noah was just. He was righteous in the eyes of God. You see that? Noah wasn't complaining. Noah wasn't carrying on in his thoughts and mind because he had his mind on God. So he didn't destroy him. He left him on the boat. He left him with instructions to how to build an ark. And that's what the Bible is. It's how we build our ark for our lives and for our family. Amen. Are you with me? Because the floods are coming. Yes. Somebody said they were out in Obana, and just outside, they had floods, and homes were flooded. They had water up to their chest and stuff. I mean, that stuff's going on everywhere. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. God will give you a standard, and he'll keep your head above the water if you'll pay attention to him in times of difficulty and stress. Are you with me? And anguish and hardship. God's word will cause you to rise up above all that's happening. Am I making sense? Because you need wisdom, and that's what God does. He gives you wisdom, how to respond and how to react and help people. Now, look what it says. And the people spoke against God and Moses. And then they said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there's no food. The prices at Kroger's and the grocery, they're just high. Food's getting too high. And there's no water. Everything's so expensive. The gas prices. Are you with me? I'm going to tell you something. You can't be echoing that and think you're going to prosper and grow and mature in the things of God. Because you're speaking that, you're asking, you're bringing that mess in on your family and on your life. Making sense? Now watch. And the soul, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. They didn't like what God was providing. And you know, that's what happens. You start thinking you want what you want, and you don't like what's been provided, and you start complaining about it. Well, they got a big house. I wish I had it. Oh, boy, that's about a... Well, they got a new car. I want a new car. I've heard it. That's so far from what God is calling us to. Are you with me? Now, look at this. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. You know, that's what happens when you are murmuring and complaining. You're inviting spiritual warfare spirits in your life, demons. That's what that represents. You're inviting them because of what you're saying. You mean in my house? Yeah, right up in your house. You mean in my kid's bedroom when I'm putting them to bed? Yeah, right there. You're inviting that mess if you're in there complaining and speaking negative over them. Yes, you are. Are you picking this up? Now, let's look at this. For we have spoken against the Lord. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have spoken, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Next one. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. One translation said, made well. It means wholeness. You lived, you're whole. So what he's saying is, now think about this. Jesus repeated this in John chapter 3. He said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so also must the Son of Man be lifted up. That means on the cross. And so he says, everyone that looks at it will be live. That's the way it is. When we look to Jesus for life, and all that God has for us, we're going to live. And we're going to be made well in this life. I remember asking a doctor one time if he understood. I was taking my kids to the doctor, and I just had learned this. I said, do you know where that snake on the pole came from? Out there in front of your office? And in your office here? He said, well, I guess not really, not really. And I told him the story, and he didn't know if he wanted to believe it or not. Isn't that something? He's a doctor, and this is really where that comes from. And it's everywhere. Are you with me? I think that's powerful. And that's why we go to the doctor to be healed, because this whole concept of looking brings healing. We need help in our life. Am I making sense? That's huge. Let's go to Hebrews 10:38 real quick. You know, before I move on, I'm gonna share something real quick. And you can write this down. I didn't put this in the computer. But in Numbers 13:31, it says that Caleb was speaking to the people to go into the promised land. And in verse 1 of chapter 13, it says God spoke to Moses about the land that he had already given them. God gave them the promised land. Are you catching this? God gave them the promised land. And he says, now go in and spy it out, the land that he gave them. So Caleb was running this business. He goes, he gets all these, they go into the promised land, they come back. And it says, you can look it up, Write this down if you want to look it up. Numbers 13, 31 through 33. Well, look. It says they went into the land and they came back with a bad report, a negative report. What they said was over there. They exaggerated. They made up stuff. That what they faced, because they didn't want to go through anything to possess what God had given them, already given them. They were complaining about it and murmuring about it. Now look, oh, we're like grasshoppers. Can you imagine a grasshopper? I get the grasshopper jumps on me with that tobacco in his mouth. We're like grasshoppers. Come on. That's an exaggeration. He says, they were saying, we're like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. In other words, they saw themselves as grasshoppers. Less, much less than what God created them for. Are you getting a hold of what I'm saying? That's the way it is. The way you see yourself is the way everybody else sees you. Huh? And then they'll start treating you the way they see you. Oh, well, you know, they grew up and it was difficult. And, you know, they had this and that. And then now you're just speaking what's going. You're helping them in their stuckness and their misery. Does this make sense? And so we were in their sight. When your vision is obscured, your mouth is the first thing that starts to speak. Talks about that in Proverbs 4, 24, 25, and 26. That's how you guard your heart. What comes out of your mouth is telling me and everyone else around you what's in your heart. And we have to constantly give our hearts attention, constantly, all day, every day, every day. I wake up in the morning, I talk to the Lord, I start speaking God's word over my heart. It says that seed time and harvest, day and night, will never cease as long as the earth remains. And that's a sign. When you wake up and the sun comes up, that's a sign of the covenant of God with his people. Are you listening to me? That God is watching over you. Just the daylight coming up is a sign that God is in control. And he is watching over you. And when you begin to get into agreement with him, and now you're going to be a part of that day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Did you hear me? That's the way we're supposed to approach it and speak it out of our mouths and be in agreement with God. Complaining and murmuring, that's the enemy's language. You want God's presence? You speak what he's showing you. And what he's saying to you, you want the devil's presence? You complain and murmur. You'll get his presence, and he'll be glad to help you out with that. Because he uses people, and he'll send people. You go to work, and you start complaining. Oh, you get a little group around you right away. You go in there, and you want to talk about Jesus. Boy, they'll shun you like a... They don't want to be around you. I used to have people where I used to work at Miles Laboratories. They would sneak back into the lab and want to talk to me about why I was so happy. What's he so happy about? I remember I had one of them say, what makes you so happy? Jesus.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.